What's up, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the third episode of the Anything Goes podcast. I am your host, AJ Laster, and let me say, welcome back. I've missed you. It's only been a couple days, but I've missed you all. Now, in the last episode, I would like to apologize for the sayings in the episode. I pretty much contradicted myself in certain parts. Mostly parts where some points I agreed with what I was saying, then going right around and contradicting what I was saying, saying the opposite of what I was saying. So if you're still listening, I hope you know I'm sorry, and I apologize. It won't happen again. Now on to tonight's episode. Tonight we're going to be talking about a superhero. A superhero from the DC animated universe, who started off in the comics and would go on to have his own animated series, live-action movies, live-action TV shows, and of course his own toy brand. I am talking about the Dark Knight himself, Batman. And more specifically, we are going to be talking about one of his animated series, the Batman the Animated Series. And of course, its successor, the new Batman Adventures. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I loved watching this Batman. This is actually how I was introduced to Bruce Wayne, the Batman, and all of the villains in Batman's Rogues Gallery. Now, I'm not like most of you who was actually introduced to Batman in the comics in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. But I am actually one of you. I am a fan of this man who dresses up as a bat and beats the ever-living hell out of people. Well, pretty much beats the ever-living hell out of bad guys without weapons, and he sends him to a prison called Arkham Asylum. But anyway, like I said, I was introduced to Batman in the 90s when the cartoon series, the Batman animated series, the new the Adventures of Batman and Robin, and the New Adventures of Batman, which brought me my love for superheroes. Although Batman, they classify Batman as not a superhero, but he is a crime fighter. He is a vigilante. He takes the crime. He takes crime fighting into his own hands, and that is something I actually like. Someone who likes to take justice into his own hands. When he believes that the world has failed, he should step in. Now, many people have their own opinions about Batman who say that Michael Keaton's version is the best, Val Kilmer, George Clooney, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, or even the classic Batman himself, Adam West, may he rest in peace, were the best Batman. But I'm here to tell you, my three favorite Batmen are Michael Keaton, Adam West, and of course the animated version of Batman, who is voiced by Kevin Conroy, who got the job after he auditioned for the show, but he was auditioning for a villain. And of course he would go on to voice Batman again for the Justice League animated series, the Justice League Unlimited animated series. And hell, even Kevin Conroy came back for a DC animated movie, Batman and Harley Quinn, which by far was actually one of the best Batman animated movies. Of course, in this show we were introduced to Batman and Robin. We were also introduced to Batgirl, Commissioner Gordon, and of course, we were also introduced to his Rogues Gallery. Like, pretty much the Penguin, the Penguin, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, The Mad Hatter, who is one of the most ridiculous freaking villains I've ever seen. My opinion, who the hell would want to become a villain who looks like the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland? It's weird. It's as ridiculous as the freaking Condiment King, who's the Condiment King, whose only weapon is two guns that shoot mustard and ketchup. And of course, he has bad puns. He is one of the lousiest villains I have ever seen. Of course, those are some of the lousiest villains ever. But of course, his best villains are the Riddler, Two-Face, Scarecrow, Killer Croc, of course, the man who broke the bat, Bane, Hugo Strange, who actually found out Bruce's identity, but he has been disavowed. He doesn't know what he's talking about anymore. He's pretty much considered crazy. But of course, my favorite villain, besides Two-Face, because, you know, he looks like, well, one side looks normal, the other side looks like somebody threw a vat of acid on his face. And the villain I'm talking about is, of course, the Joker. In this show, he was actually, there's many iterations of the Joker. There's Heath Ledger's Joker. There's, Cesar Romero Joker, who, the Mexican guy who refused to shave his mustache. And, of course, there's my favorite version of the Joker, the Batman animated series Joker, voiced by Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill, who would go on to actually have a successful voiceover career after Batman the animated series was over. He even reprised his role in the DC animated movie Batman the Killing Joke, which also Kevin Conroy reprised his role as Batman. And of course, if it wasn't for the Joker, we wouldn't have the beautiful Dr. Harley Quinzel, a.k.a. Harley Quinn, who would be his devoted sidekick, his sidekick, up until Harley finally had enough and decided to go out on her own and kick that quote-unquote asshat to the curb. Of course, Harley Quinn is actually one of the most popular characters from the show, ended up having a cult following thanks to Batman the Animated Series. Of course, Harley Quinn would not receive her origin story until the final episode of the new Batman Adventures entitled Mad Love, which is also a one-shot comic released by DC Comics. But it's thanks to that that they ended up getting Harley her own comic book series. She ended up teaming up with Poison Ivy and eventually becoming a part of the group known as the Birds of Prey. Be honest with you, that's how you create a popular villain. But of course, nowadays, Harley Quinn is not considered a villain. She's more of an anti-hero. And if it wasn't for the Joker, we wouldn't have her. It's because of him that she is the way he is, because he fed her straight lies. But of course, Batman is the one who saw that Harley's relationship with the Joker was too toxic for her. That's why in the video game Injustice 2, Harley ends up working with Batman. Of course, many people would ask me, why would I do a singular podcast based on a man who dresses up as a bat, who was traumatized as a kid after witnessing his parents being murdered during a mugging, And of course, eventually using that trauma as a conduit for a lifelong obsession. Because he ended up, well, tell you the truth, the reason why I decided to do this, because this man decided to use his one fear, his fear of bats, his childhood fear was a fear of bats, and used it to instill fear into Gotham's criminals. And of course, he is actually a pretty badass guy. This man has beaten the hell out of many of his, pretty much beaten the hell out of any of his rogues gallery. But he doesn't hurt him too bad. He tries to send them. He sends them to Arkham Asylum and hopes that they would reform, that they would see the light, that they would give up their life of crime and try to go steady. But apparently that's not the case, because these motherfuckers keep coming back and trying some new scheme to either destroy Gotham, destroy the world, or to take over Gotham City and take over the world. Of course, one of the things they didn't do in the animated series was the fact that they had the Joker in the comics. I actually saw this in a video once. The Joker actually beat the ever-living hell out of Tim Drake, the second Robin. And it ended up, but we ended up believing that this second Robin was dead, but he wasn't. He ended up becoming the vigilante known as the Red Hood. But of course, if you play the Batman video games for the Xbox 360 and PS3, you know, Batman Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight, you would know that he would have, that one of the original Robins would eventually become the Arkham Knight. Claim that Batman doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And the fact that he pretty much doesn't want, he pretty much believes that Batman doesn't care, that he should have looked for him, that he should have tried to help him, but he didn't. That apparently Batman only cares for himself, which is not true, as he is shown to actually care for the ones he tries to save. He was friends with Harvey Dent, the district attorney for Gotham City, but he ended up losing himself to his split personality, Big Bad Harv. Of course, he also tried to save numerous people who would rather die than be saved by a man in a bat costume. In other words, he's trying to, but of course he ends up learning the hard way, as many heroes do, that you can't save everyone. Not everyone is redeemable. Not everybody deserves to be saved. But of course, he also tries to maintain a social life. He is the CEO of Wayne Enterprises. And he runs the he's actively involved in his management without jeopardizing his secret identity. Of course, in one of the examples, he is shown in the episode Eternal Youth, which I've actually watched this episode because I have DC Universe on my TV, my Roku, and my Xbox One X. And Bruce has actually shown that he can actually be a businessman. He can keep his businessman persona and his alter ego separate from each other. As shown, Bruce has actually shown angrily ordering one of his directors to cancel a deal that would cause many trees to be lost in the Amazon rainforest, to be cut down, to be made. But of course, these deals were made behind his back. But of course, Bruce didn't like that, and he threatened the guy with being terminated upon failure to comply. So he knows what he's doing. This guy, this man who dresses up as a bat on a nightly basis, can actually keep his secret identity and his social identity separate from each other. Which is why I actually like this guy. Hell, I even could even go as far as to say that he is technically one of my heroes. Of course, this Batman animated series is part of his legacy. It's a part of Bruce Timm's legacy. No, not Bruce Timm. I'm talking about, it's a part of Bob Kane and Bill Finger's legacy for DC. And it's also a part of DC's legacy. And of course, Batman would go on in numerous iterations. There was the Batman the Brave and the Bold, which took on a lighthearted comedy route, which is fine for today's kids. But of course, in the DC animated universe, they can actually make him a lot darker, a lot grittier, pretty much like his comic book counterpart. One of those just so happens to be one of the movies, The Killing Joke, which by far is actually one of the best Batman animated movies to actually be developed by a comic book or a graphic novel per se. That was dark within of itself. And of course, this guy is, like I said, he's one of my favorite superheroes. This guy, I like him. Even whether he's more lighthearted, or whether he's gritty, or he's more lighthearted, I like this guy. Some people would consider him a negative role model. They would consider him a positive role model. In my honest opinion, this guy is pretty damn cool. Of course, I can't judge what this man has done. He actually created Two-Face by accident. They say he created some of his own villains in his head. There's a theory that went out that all of this, all of his adventures as Batman, is in his head. Which pretty much was brought to life in the episode Dreams and Darkness, where it was believed that he was dreaming all this. That he believed that he was the Batman. That he believed that he was a vigilante, and that everyone he has faced were real. But of course, this was all thanks to the Scarecrow's fear toxin drug that actually caused him to go insane. But like I said, there's a lot of iterations of the Batman. Of course, my favorite Batman, on top of Michael Keaton and Adam West, is Kevin Conroy, who actually went on to voice act in numerous DC animated movies. The first time he reprised his role as Batman was in the 2008 DC animated universe movie Batman Gotham Knight. Of course, it's an anthology film. Batman Gotham Knight was an anthology film that tells us that told a series of stories that took place between the 2005 Batman Begins and The Dark Knight. But it has been proven that it is not officially a part of the Christopher Nolan Batman films. But of course, this is also the first film to feature Batman using authentic Japanese anime from four different Japanese animation studios. And of course, Kevin Conroy voiced Batman, which I was actually happy to hear. Of course, I didn't even know the movie was out then, because at the time I was not into superhero movies. But anyway, as a kid, I believed in superheroes. Of course, I didn't know what superheroes were. Believe it or not, after they took the animated series off syndication, the only superhero that I was able to watch was Spider-Man. And maybe I would try to be more like Spider-Man. But in the back of my head, that black mask, that black cowl with the pointed bat ears was in the back of my head. And I never thought I would see it again until the Justice League movie came out. Not the Justice League movie, the Justice League animated series came out. And like I said, as a kid, I watched that show. Even as a teenager, I watched it. I know most people will say, you're a teenager, why the hell would you watch a show for kids? Well, it's because I'm a kid at heart. I love watching animated series. I mean, hell, nowadays I watch cartoons with my kids. My two children, my son, who's only 10 months old, and my daughter, who is 3. But of course, my daughter really doesn't give two flying rats asses about cartoons, as she would rather be on a phone, which, oh my God, please, for the love of God, do not let her be on phones anymore. But of course, like I said, Batman was also voiced by numerous other actors, just like William Baldwin, Bruce Greenwood. But Jim Gordon in the Gotham live action series, Benjamin McKenzie would go on to voice Batman in the movie Batman Year One. But no matter who voices Batman, Batman is Batman. He's a vigilante. He's a hero. He's a man who doesn't use lethal force to take down the ones he believes are going to destroy the world. He's went from saving Gotham City. He's gone from that to saving the world. Which is why I call him a superhero, because he, like Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, The Flash, Martian Manhunter, and many others in the DC universe, is a hero. And believe me, I don't see why most people would think it's fine to make fun of Batman. Make fun of a hero. But of course, like I said, anybody has their own opinion. If you don't like superheroes, you don't have to like superheroes. Most people are saying that the superhero genre is going out the window. And that is just as stupid as Kanye West saying that rap artists are the new rock stars. It's just stupid. But of course, before Batman and Harley Quinn came out, and before Batman and the Killing Joke came out, I actually liked, there was actually this one Batman movie that I liked. And it was based on Frank Miller's adaptation of Batman, known as Batman The Dark Knight Returns. Which they split the movie into two parts. Dark Knight Returns Part 1 and Dark Knight Returns Part 2. Which the first part concentrated on the Two-Face and Mutant Gang arcs, of the graphic novel. And of course, Part 2 concentrated on the Joker and Superman arcs of the graphic novel. And to be honest with you, I actually liked it. Because the movies were released 1 year after each other. The first one was released on September 25th, 2012. And the second one would be released not too long after, on January 29th, the next year. And I'll even say it, just as Kevin Conroy was good as Batman in the animated series and some of the DC animated movies, Peter Weller, who most people may not know, is RoboCop, the original RoboCop, got his chance to voice the Bat. And, he was the best Batman. Him and Kevin Conroy were the best Batman that I have ever seen. Foam. Anyway, what I was saying was, I liked the Dark Knight Returns movies, and my favorite part of that was when Bruce Wayne finally decided to come out of retirement after many, many years to finally put an end to the tyranny. That was the Mutant Gang and Harvey Dent, or better known as Two-Face. And of course, we saw the return of the Joker, who apparently in this movie was, who sounded more effeminate than Mark Hamill's Joker. But of course, that's how these movies go. You've got to take the good with the bad, the salt with the pepper. Pretty much the vodka, the orange juice. When I was growing up, I didn't have everything. I couldn't watch much TV when I was a kid. That was because I was an evil little shit. I was mean to my mom. I was mean to my stepfather, who was trying to be my father. And I pretty much didn't want anybody around me. I couldn't watch cartoons like anyone else. I couldn't be a kid. So, which is why nowadays when I'm an adult, I get to watch the animated series that I could have watched when I was a kid that I never got the chance to. But I'm not someone who would judge someone's logic. Like I was saying earlier, if you like him, you like him. If you don't, you don't. But anyone who's a hardcore comic books fan would know that even if you watched this animated show, that you don't have to be a fan of comic book heroes, men who wear tights, to love superheroes. If you watch the movies, if you watch the animated shows, and not realizing that they came from an era long ago, that they became a part of not just your parents' legacy, they've become a part of your legacy. You don't have to like it. I mean, if you do like it, as I'm trying not to contradict myself again, if you like it, enjoy it. It's fun to make believe. It's fun to watch your favorite heroes whoop somebody's ass. Hell, I idolized myself after heroes, and yet I can't do anything. I'm no superhero, but I am a superhero to my kids. My kids think I'm Superman. They think I'm Superman and any other superhero who's invulnerable. And I am happy to say that I am somebody's hero. You know, and here's the thing. I'm not trying to disavow the real heroes of the world. Because here's the thing. Today's real heroes grew up with superheroes like Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, the X-Men. Me, I believe that just because they grew up watching men in tights, wearing masks, going around flying and whooping guys' asses, that it inspired them to become heroes themselves. I'll be at whooping somebody's ass. Cops are kind of like Batman, except they don't beat people up. There are some corrupt cops who do that, but to be honest with you, those kind of people don't belong in law enforcement. They give good cops and good heroes a bad name. And of course, I like to think that anybody could be a hero. Anyone could be the Batman. Anyone could be Superman. Anyone could be Green Lantern. Pretty much they can be any superhero who decides to do good in their lives, who want to make the world a better place. Batman just wants to keep his city safe. He wants to get rid of the crime in Gotham City. And I think that's good. And to be honest with you, like I said, that's why Batman's one of my personal favorite heroes. The animated series, if you have never watched it, I suggest you do. The show is on DC Universe. The first two seasons of the show, Batman the Animated Series, The New Adventures of Batman and Robin, and even The New Batman Adventures is on DC Universe. All three seasons are on there. Even some of Batman's movies are on there. The classic ones with Michael Keaton as Batman are on there. Which, oh, good Lord, those are some damn good movies. Of course, me, I'm not biased anymore. But I believe when it comes to superheroes, most people believe that one of the greatest superhero fights would be Batman versus Superman. And most people would believe that Superman would win in a fight against Batman. But as it's been shown in the Batman v Superman movie, that Batman could actually easily beat Superman with kryptonite. And I like to believe that, yes, Batman could whoop Superman's ass. And that's my honest opinion. I have nothing against anyone who's a fan of Superman. But when it comes to a fight, I believe Batman is the superior one, that he will whoop Superman's ass with kryptonite. He can create some kryptonite gloves and beat the hell out of him. But then again, Batman has a moral code not to kill anybody. But of course, like I said, that's my honest opinion. But like I said, I got off track a little bit. Me, when it comes to growing up, the Batman animated series was by far a part of my childhood. That was a part of anybody's childhood. But of course, everybody has their personal favorite episodes. And me, believe it or not, I have my personal favorite episode. And it's not an episode that you think. My favorite episode just so happens to be, and hold for applause, my personal favorite episode, believe it or not, is Two-Face Parts 1 and 2. Why do I say that? Mainly because it takes a good man and turns him into a tragic villain. As a man who is suffering from a multiple personality disorder, who has a personality disorder that goes in and out. But when he finally has that chance to let it out, he becomes the monster he never wanted to be. And has officially become one of Batman's greatest villains. And he was also Bruce Wayne's friend. And I watched this video the other day that showed that Bruce gained an enemy and lost a friend, because Harvey was a good friend to Bruce. When it comes to my least favorite episode, I'll be honest with you, See No Evil was just wrong. Because it pretty much told the story of a man who lost his rights to see his daughter and decided to pretend to be an imaginary friend to his daughter, knowing damn well he had no right to see her. Of course, this show has had a lot of good episodes. And like I said, I have my personal favorites, like the Two-Face two-part episode, my least favorite episode, the See No Evil episode from season one. But like I said, all the episodes are good. Every single episode is good. Except for, in my honest opinion, See No Evil. But that's for anybody else's decision to decide. Anybody's opinion to decide. But with that being said, anybody has their own opinion on which episode was the best, which episode was the worst. Of course, like I said, just like the Two-Face two-part episode, my other favorite episode was the Robin's Reckoning two-part episode, which showed Robin's backstory of how he ended up in the custody of Bruce Wayne. As a man named Tony Zucco is the man who killed Dick Grayson's parents. And it leads Robin down this path to vengeance, to revenge. And it's pretty much up to Batman to actually ring Robin in. Of course, there's a lot of episodes that don't make sense. There's a lot that do make sense that take pride in being good episodes that want to be good, that want to be bad. But, like I say, anybody has their own opinion. But I digress. Now, with that being said, normally I would give a final thought to any of my episodes, but tonight I just can't. For some reason, I just can't, because the first two episodes I did were about the coronavirus and teenagers, respectively. The first one was actually pretty good, and the second one, like I said earlier in this podcast, contradicted itself. With this episode, I want to do something different. I want people to know that I don't do this for fun. I do this so that way people can actually have something to fucking listen to when they're bored, when they don't have anything to do, when life's got them down, so that way they can listen to something. I want the world to know you're a hero. That you don't have to wear a cape, a cowl, a mask to be a hero. Now, like I said, this is not a final thought, but this is an opinion. That this is truly coming from the heart. Don't be who they want you to be. Be who you want to be. Be the hero that you know you can be. Because there's a saying, you can become the hero. You can either die and see yourself become a hero, or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And don't be the villain of your story. Be the hero. Be somebody's hero. Hell, if fighting's what you want to do, be somebody's hero and whoop somebody's ass. Just don't beat their ass so damn bad that they end up in the hospital. Now, with that being said, I would like to end this video on a good note. This guy, these men who created Batman, Bob Kane and Bill Finger, I want to thank you for creating one of the best superheroes of all time. And I say one of the best because there's a lot of great superheroes out there, and no one could have brought this guy to life other than you two. And of course, I also want to thank the animators who brought this animated show to life. Thank you. And of course, Michael Keaton, you're a damn good Batman. Adam West, I know you can't hear me because you've passed. Thank you for being one of the greatest Batman actors of all time. I'm not going to thank fucking George Clooney, but because goddamn, Joel Schumacher, you fucking idiot. You ruined Batman at that time. Of course, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, it's because of you two that you brought Batman and the Joker to life. And of course, not many people know this, that Ron Perlman, better known as Hellboy, was actually the voice of Clayface in the episodes in the episode Feet of Clay, which he did a damn good job on that. And of course, I want to thank the animated series for actually giving us Harley Quinn, because she is a sexy little bitch. And of course, I have to say, it's because of this show that I am a comic book fan, that I'm a superhero fan, and that will never die. You guys rock. And of course, I toast to the long legacy that is DC Comics and the long legacy of the Batman. Well, that, like I said, this has been AJ. This has been the Anything Goes podcast, episode 3. Thank you. Good night. Have a pleasant tomorrow. And as we go through this moment, through this terrible time, stay healthy, wash your hands, stay safe. And that is it for this episode. I will see y'all next time. Good night, and good luck.